Welcome, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Rebound. I'm your host, Eli Cooper, along with my co-host, James Jordan. How you doing today, James?
Doing all right, man. Yeah, just getting off work, ready to discuss these topics, man. How about yourself?
Chilling, man. Went to go, you know, see some houses today. We doing big stuff, you know.
Okay, big money. I see you. Let me hold something. I'll get back on my feet.
But, first week of NBA season in the books as of tonight. Some crazy games going on so far that we've talked to you guys about already. We're going to get into, Friday through Monday's games. We're, again, recording this on a Tuesday night, so we won't have updates on tonight's games until the next episode. Also, college basketball coming up soon, so stay tuned and be ready for our next episode. We'll be talking a little bit about college basketball season getting started and get back into that for you guys. Again, if you're tuning in, make sure you subscribe and follow us on Twitter at The Rebound Pod. You can also follow myself and James at EL1_Coop. And James at life_gamble3 to interact with us. Tell us what you want to hear us talk about on the podcast and, you know, kind of help us spread the news about shows and things like that. So let's get right into it. The first game we're going to talk about from this week is the Nets versus Knicks. This game went down to the wire. It was the Battle of New York. Kyrie Irving was magnificent down the stretch, hitting a clutch shot that essentially iced the game for the Nets as they went on to win 113-109. For me, I think Kyrie Irving might be one of the best clutch shot makers I've ever seen. James, where does he rank, amongst your top clutch players?
Clutch? Come on, you know Kobe is first, man. What are you doing?
Yeah,
Kobe comes first. And then Kyrie, we can argue second. And honestly, I can't even think of someone right now that comes even third. I mean, just when it comes to clutch shots, we just remember that fate, or at least his step to the right, even stepping to his dominant hand, pretty much shooting a fadeaway as well in the finals. We all remember that shot. But, and then also we just remember, you know, Kobe, every time you turn on ESPN, he's just hitting some crazy shot. So that's where he's ranked amongst the clutch shot makers. I'll put him at number two, right behind Kobe.
I think that's the best attribute of his game. Like, the handle is great, the shot is great, but in crunch time, for some reason, when he has the ball in his hands, he just flourishes. Like that sidestep three that you just mentioned, that he hit in the finals is the same one that he just put the Knicks away with, and he hit when he played for Team USA in the Olympics. He's playing with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green right after hitting that shot against those guys. So, like, that is his go-to move, and how comfortable he is with that shot is a testament to how much work he puts in so that he can shoot that so consistently. Like, every time he gets it, like, to the point where, like, in crunch time, if you're guarding Kyrie, you might have to just completely sit on his right hand and make him drive left and hope for some help, because that shot is so lethal. But it was a big shot for him. The Nets off to a pretty rocky start so far before that win. They haven't looked great, and it was something we talked about. You know, Kyrie-led teams seem to be a bit mediocre. But if you can get into close games down in crunch time, he will hit the big shots to get you over the hump. It's just a matter of, can they stay in enough games to, you know, get down to those close shots.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I get from Kyrie. Just, he's a solid, actually, scratch that. He's an excellent number two option. Like, he just needs someone to get him to the playoffs, get him to the fourth quarter in close games, and then just give him the ball, ISO him, and then he can just make the shot.
Yeah.
But seriously, as far as him having his own team, he can't carry a grocery bag right now. So that's just what it is with his game. I mean, we even discussed about him being a floor general, but as of right now, we just don't see that in his game. I mean, he's a above average passer. He's above average at mostly everything, but he's an excellent closer.
Yeah, elite, elite closer for sure. Now, as far as the Knicks go, they were competitive. They battled in this game, and they've been competitive, you know, so far, even though they've struggled a little bit at 0-3. But, you know, as far as Knicks fans go, I don't know if you saw, you know, recently, they were chanting, "We want Frank," at Dennis Smith Jr. During their game against the Celtics on Saturday, a couple days after this loss. And to me, that just makes me, that makes me say Knicks fans don't deserve anything good ever. Like, the guy has hardly been a New York Knick at all, first of all. And
they already give up on him.
Yeah, and you've given up on him already in 3 or 4 games they've played so far. And he hasn't even, he hasn't played over 11 minutes in any game so far this season. And those are the kind of chants we're giving to a young player in this league who hasn't, especially for the Knicks, hasn't had any opportunity this season to really show what he can do. And to me, and honestly, it's not like Frank has been any good or better than Dennis Smith Jr. has been. He's playing limited minutes as well. So, like, what difference did you think Frank was going to make, you know what I mean, or in getting those minutes over Dennis Smith Jr.? You're not doing anything but hurting the confidence of that kid, because now he doesn't even have his home supporters behind him. You know, so to me, it's just, it's completely uncalled for from Knicks fans. And honestly, it's a, to me, I feel like they really don't deserve a winning team. And that's why they haven't had one in years, to me, because that's just out of line.
And then honestly, not even thinking about having him and Barrett as a 1-2 punch is also a killer. So I'm just like, I mean, honestly, it could be a top 15 duo right there. I mean, you just never know. Like, the season is so young, and it just seems like they're just giving up on it already by just putting this young kid that you just drafted at the 1, and then not trying Dennis out that you traded pieces for.
Right.
And then it just seems like it's just whatever. We'll try again in a draft just because you didn't get Zion.
Yeah.
But Barrett, he's a good piece, and you just got to figure out how to implement him in the offense. And then, yeah, they just got to figure it out.
Yeah, R.J. Barrett is the one bright spot for this team so far. He has gotten off to a good start, and he was one of the rookies that so many people were really concerned about coming out of Duke because he wasn't, like, super efficient or anything like that. And he comes out first 4 games. They're actually 1-3. But first 4 games, he's come out averaging 20.5 points, 7.5 rebounds, and 3 assists. He's shooting 50% from the field and 46.7% from the 3. And everybody's, you know, big complaint about him was he wasn't that great of a shooter, or he was a volume kind of player. Well, he's, you know, so far through 4 games, he's kind of showed that, he's kind of dispelling that, you know, theory about him. And right now, you might have to say that with Zion hurt, he's the front runner for Rookie of the Year so far.
Right. I mean, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, even with the Knicks, like, I see a lot of potential in them, but just right now, the reason why I see that they're just not doing so well is they have a physical presence. If you have a physical presence, you have to shoot your free throws.
Yeah.
You can't shoot 57% in that Nets game and expect to win a close contest. Honestly, I hate to do the woulda, coulda, shoulda thing, but if you can easily make a couple of free throws, you'll be fine. Or at least match the Nets with their free throw percentage, you will win that game, because they actually shot excellent from the 3. So it's just a lot of different variables, and it's too early to judge. That's why I have a lot of confidence in the Knicks, just because they have that physical presence, and then they also have Barrett that can make some plays for him. So it's only a matter of time until we start talking about the Knicks and how they're surprising us during the season. But for right now, I feel like Dennis definitely needs more minutes. And then Frank, you have to figure out what you're going to do with that kid, because right now he can't shoot a lick. Mm-hmm. Can't do anything.
Yeah. Well, enough about those New York teams. Let's talk about my Philadelphia Sixers. Starting off 3-0, but we're going to go back to the game against the Pistons, where they came out with a close 6-point win, 117-111. Joel Embiid did not play in this game. This is one of the game predictions that we had from our last episode. Both me and you picked the Sixers in this game, and we actually ran a Twitter poll for this as well. And literally everyone who voted on the poll voted on the Sixers that night. And it was right. And the Pistons actually put up a fight. But the Sixers did end up pulling it out without Joel Embiid in the game. So, you know, one of the highlights for me was how the floor spacing was different without Embiid on the floor throughout the game. They went with Al Horford at the five. They brought the rookie Thybulle in. And basically went with a four-out-one-in look with Horford at the five. And it really opened up the floor for Ben Simmons. He wasn't super efficient scoring the ball, but he had 13 points and 10 assists, most of them going to Al Horford late down the stretch, where those two were dominant in that pick-and-pop, which they continued to run over and over again. And then Ben Simmons made some clutch defensive plays that got them out in transition and got them some easy baskets. To help them pull away. And Tobias Harris finally got going after a little bit of a slow start. He had 29 points on 10 of 15 shooting, hit four threes. Really, most of that damage coming in a big third quarter that he had, which was good for him. Good to see him get back on track. So what are your thoughts on the Sixers so far after this win and then even squeaking out a close one against the Hawks last night?
In regards to the Pistons game, I felt like the Pistons played a little tougher than I expected. For me, it's a little, I've noticed some things with the defense. It's a little too early to panic on a 76ers defense just because of Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. He's pretty much the physical presence along with Horford. So it's hard to have some big to score on those two. My big surprise of the game was Tobias with 29 mm-hmm. Points, 7 rebounds, and 1 assist. That's going to be a key factor in the stretch of the season, just because this is exactly what we traded for Tobias for, is just to produce and make some shots, especially with Butler gone. He has to do this consistently, at least 20 points, 25 and 5, maybe. And then also another thing I would like to point out to the losing team is with Derrick Rose. Mm-hmm. He had 31, 3, and 3. He performed pretty well. The Pistons actually shot better from the field goal percentage and then also from the three. The only thing that was their Achilles heel, or at least they just couldn't finish it off in the end, was just they just couldn't make their free throws. That's another game where free throws is affecting a team.
Yeah.
We all know they have Andre Drummond, and we know he just can't get it done from free throws. So, that's my takes from the game. And then also, another thing that I'd like to point out is that the percentages are kind of skewed just because the 76ers took a lot more shots.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have scored more points, but it just wasn't their night. It just wasn't falling in. So that's just another thing, another one of my takes from that game.
Yeah, I agree with you. That was a big game, especially for Tobias Harris. They do need to get him going offensively and make sure he's in a rhythm. Especially down the stretch, they're going to need him to knock down some big shots. Derrick Rose so far has looked incredible and rejuvenated. It looks like he's finally really adjusted to not playing the super athletic game, that he used to have. He's a little bit better playing under the rim, changing his speed and things like that. Averaging 21 points and 5 assists to start the year so far with the Pistons at 2-2. And he's doing it off the bench because, that was kind of the role that they expected for him so far. He's playing almost starter minutes anyway, but he's playing about 26, he's playing about 26 minutes a game, so almost starter minutes, but really productive. You get 21.5 points and 5 assists out of a guy in 26 minutes. You can't really ask for much more than that. He could be looking at sixth man of the year You know, if he, even if he doesn't keep the pace he's at right now, if he drops to like 18, you know, or 17 a game, he's absolutely in that running for sixth man of the year. So let's move on to the next game from our game predictions from our last episode, which was the Celtics versus the Knicks. And of course, the Knicks were my first loss of the year. So thank you, the Knicks. It's what I get, really, for putting any kind of faith in them. They lost to the Celtics 118-95, and I also lost the weekly wager that we put on this game. Again, never, ever put any kind of faith into the New York Knicks, if you're listening. So, down 0-1 on the weekly wagers to you, James, and we will have to go double or nothing on another one. But, What were your thoughts on this one? I know you were high on Kemba Walker.
Yes, so that was definitely, you heard me speak about him earlier. Kemba with 32, 4 assists, 5 rebounds. Ooh. Definitely a big surprise on me just because I had some concerns in offseason with them playing overseas, yeah. Especially with his teammates. But he came to show this is what they traded for, so this is what they're going to get. I get it. I also thought it would be a little closer. I thought the Knicks would be a little bit more competitive just for the reason they're a little bit more physical. Yeah. So it's a change of style, so I thought it would be a little closer, but just didn't get it done. They actually the Knicks shot very poorly, 25 from 3, 25%, and 38 from the field versus the Celtics, 45% from the field and 36 from 3. Mm-hmm. One thing that I noticed that Robert Williams has some big minutes for the Celtics,
yeah.
From Texas A&M. He didn't score much, but he did get a lot of minutes, I'm assuming just because of defensive mm-hmm. presence. That is actually a concern for me down the road with them. I'm trying to figure out what direction they're headed if he's not necessarily a scorer, because your big man has to at least get you 10, right. At least. So that's one concern. I'm pretty sure they'll get it fixed in a couple games or so. At least with a better game plan. It's his first game playing big minutes, so I'm not going to hit the panic button yet, but it does raise some concerns.
Yeah, he was filling in for Enes Kanter, who didn't play in this one. But, the Knicks look good. They got Kemba Walker going finally in this one. He led the way with 32. The Knicks were competitive throughout the first half, and then they kind of just faded in the second half as the Celtics made their run. And ended up pulling away. They were only, they were actually leading going into halftime by 5, and had me feeling really good about our little wager. But you know, the Knicks are clearly not, you know, ready to be a competitive team in the East this year. Obviously, they're still young, and that was what most people expected. I think they're gonna, you know, put up fights, you know, every night. They're not just gonna simply roll over and get blown out, but you know, this was a pretty easy win for the Celtics. It doesn't tell me much about how good they're gonna be going forward. They're sitting at 2-1 right now, which is solid. But you know, it's still early. We're still getting a feel on how, you know, good the Celtics can be, but they're definitely going to need these kind of performances from Kemba Walker going forward. All right, so the last game of the night, or the last game from our prediction, was the next day on Sunday from the Blazers and Mavs. And this one actually turned out to be a great game. Went down to the wire, and the Blazers end up pulling it out 121-119. Who I picked in this one, James went with the Mavs, giving him his first loss of the year as well. So, thoughts on this game, James? I think Luka Doncic really looked good. It was an exciting, entertaining game. What did you think about it?
I mean, I already know what Luka brings to the table. Last year, he did some good things, getting those triple doubles, but now he has Kristaps Porzingis, which flashed at 32-5-9. Honestly, it was pretty much CJ, Dame, Kristaps, and Luka the whole game.
Yep.
That's all I laid my eyes on. I mean, Kristaps just looks like he just looks more physical. He looks more athletic. He looks more confident, and that's what I like. So I have a lot of confidence in this Mavs team, which we'll eventually get into either tonight or potentially in one of our upcoming shows, with updating the standings, just because now I'm honestly a believer in the Mavericks. But unfortunately, the Blazers finish out a close one. You can always predict that with CJ and Dame on the same team, so either one of those guys are going to hit the shot. And then also another key point is that Rodney, he seemed pretty comfortable as the third option. 32 minutes and 20 points from the Blazers. I was a little concerned with Whiteside. He just looked a little lost at times. Didn't really do much, but he did bring a physical defensive presence. Obviously not enough if Kristaps is getting 32. But he's always been a problem with Whiteside stretching out to the three, defending. More perimeter defense has always been a question mark for him. So hopefully they'll get that fixed in duration of the season. What about you? What do you think?
I thought it was an excellent game, and the stars, like you said, really showed out in this one. CJ McCollum was a stud, went for 35 points in this game. Damian Lillard with 28. The 20 from Rodney Hood, I think, is really what put them over top. We know what we're going to get out of Dame and CJ on most nights. But can they get that third scorer going like a Rodney Hood, or can Whiteside on certain nights provide them, you know, with some scoring, or what can they get out of guys like Kent Bazemore off of the bench, things like that, is really what's going to determine a lot of wins and losses for Portland, that and their defense. I just want to rave about Porzingis a little bit, averaging 26 points per game after being off for a complete year. And he's shooting it well, 46% from the field. Like to see that a little bit higher for someone who's 7 foot, but it's three games in. He's shooting about 41% from the three. Can't ask for much more from that from a stretch four. The rebounds, I think, will go up. He's only at 5.7 right now because he's spending so much time on the perimeter offensively. So we'll see an uptick there. He'll probably be at 7 or 8, you know, by the end of the season. But he does look healthy. He looks stronger. And, yeah, like you said, him and Luka are looking like a scary duo so far. So we'll see how that works out. I think the Mavs are definitely a threat in the West. They're going to make a lot of teams sweat on different nights. And I think they could possibly be a playoff team.
Mention is that Portland actually came from behind in this one, 71-59 in the first half. They made it happen in the fourth, so yeah, I tip my hat off to them, just because I mean they've always been a great closer except against the Warriors. That's probably the only team that made them sweat and just gave them nightmares day in and day out. It's probably them, but I do tip my hat off to them. They got it done.
Yeah, so that does it for our game reviews from from Friday through Monday, which was yesterday's games. So just a quick review where we're at right now for game prediction records. I'm sitting at 5-1, only loss coming in the Knicks game. James is sitting at 2-1 after correctly predicting the Celtics and the Sixers and losing on the Mavs by 2 points. So not bad so far, James. And now for our weekly wagers here, I'm putting it down on the notepad. James is up 1-0 after picking the Boston Celtics. Eli never bet on Knicks. All right, so the next topic we want to get into and discuss with you guys is our surprise teams and players. So who so far after 1 week of action, let's start with teams first. What team has surprised you the most after a week?
I would honestly say the Spurs. We look at them, they're still recovering from the Kawhi loss, but they've always had a good group that's willing to play day in and day out, give you energy. And then they're undefeated right now. I mean, I know it probably won't be for long, but I'm strongly impressed with this team. Right now they're just getting it done. But then another team I would like to think about is Toronto, that's recovering from Kawhi loss. They're also getting it done. Fred VanVleet, he's getting it done. He's putting in some big minutes. And then, yeah, I mean, those are the two teams that are really surprising me right now. Yeah, just because we would just think that both of those teams would regress, but actually they're doing ops.
I agree with you, man. San Antonio, especially with San Antonio, they have shocked me, which they really shouldn't, because any Greg Popovich coach team is going to, you know, play well. Like they say, there's three things you can guarantee in life: death, taxes, and Greg Popovich winning 50 games. And, you know, one of the big things for them that that happened this year was getting DeJounte Murray back at the point guard spot, which was he was the understudy for Tony Parker his last couple of years in San Antonio. And this year, last year was their starter before suffering an unfortunate ACL injury that cost him the rest of the season. But he is back in full effect this year. He's a do-it-all point guard, 14 points, 7 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists per game so far to start the year, shooting 54% from the field. His three-point shot isn't quite there yet. He's still very good for mid-range and getting to the basket. 6'5", big physical point guard who's athletic. Once he really develops that three-point shot with some consistency, I think he can be one of the best point guards in the game. The ceiling for him is so high. He's like a bigger version of Tony Parker to me. He plays with a good pace to his game, and is very fundamentally sound and skilled. So I love his game. I love that he's back playing at a high level for the Spurs. And it's led to great results for them so far. The other team that has shocked me has been the Timberwolves. And Karl-Anthony Towns has been a flat-out stud to start this year. He's putting up some ridiculous numbers. And I also have to tip my cap to Andrew Wiggins. And he's someone that I've been very critical of in the past because he's never really played up to his potential. And he's had a couple of good games so far. He's still sitting at 20.7 points and 6 rebounds. Not super efficient, only 43% from the field. But honestly, you know, getting any kind of pulse from him at all is good for you. And really, it was mostly because he got off to a little bit of a slow start in his first game. But the last two have been great. And Karl-Anthony Towns, everybody knows how talented he is. The question really was about his work ethic after, the whole Jimmy Butler thing. And he's come out and 32, 13, and 5 to start the year, shooting 52% from the field and 52% from the three. You get Karl-Anthony Towns playing that well in the Timberwolves. You know, he's the kind of player who can really change a franchise. So, good to see those two young players possibly turning a corner. We'll see if they can keep it going, and get into the playoffs this year. But they're off to a great start. So what about players, James? Any individual players that have played, surprisingly well to you?
Honestly, I mean, I'm not saying anyone is pretty much reaching out as of right now. It's kind of too early. Like, I just want to have a more consistent pick mm-hmm. for right now. But one team that I forgot to mention is actually the Suns.
Yes.
I know we're talking about players, yeah. But I forgot to mention the Suns. They beat the Clippers and the Kings. I understand it. But they also lost to Utah and Denver, both by 1 point.
Yeah.
So it's showing that they're willing to compete, showing that they at least have a decent roster put together. We'll see what it looks like in a stretch of 15 games, if it's a little bit, just putting it out there to see if they're willing to compete in the West. But honestly, I think they're for real this year. I mean, they have Devin Booker. He's a flat-out stud. We know he's going to put up points. We're going to see if Anton can get it done, finally at center. I know that he was putting up some numbers last year, but he also kind of faded at some points of the season. So we're going to see if he becomes more consistent. And then hopefully the Suns can be a better team this year.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, the Suns are off to an excellent start so far. And, Devin Booker, The expansion to his game has been great, especially in the passing area. He's really, you know, up in his assist numbers, and I think it's doing wonders for that Suns team. That after that win against the Clippers, they were looking really good. They had a couple of tough losses to playoff caliber teams, you know, especially with the Nuggets, and they were close. So they're at least competitive now. And they actually even lost DeAndre Ayton recently. So they've been playing without him for a couple of games due to that suspension. So, you know,
yeah, was it 28 games or something crazy like that?
Yeah, it's sitting at 25 right now. They're trying to get it reduced because they don't believe it was something intentional as far as what they found in his system. So they're trying to get it reduced and see if they can get him back. And I think that would be a huge help for them. And the way they look, I know it's early. They could make a playoff push. We'll see how the West shakes out or if they fall apart. But, you know, watch out for the Suns, man. Devin Booker seems to be on a mission. Now, my surprise player, I have only one so far because a lot of the guys who are playing really well right now, I kind of expected, like Trae Young, you know, those kind of guys. But
mine just got hurt tonight, too.
Yeah, he did have an ankle injury. X-rays are coming negative, which is a good sign. Doesn't look like anything serious from early reports. We'll see how long that keeps him on the sidelines. Hopefully not long, but, you know, it'll definitely be interesting to see how that plays out. But my surprise player is a name not really heard of, a guy named Kendrick Nunn. From the Miami Heat, he has been off to a crazy hot start in his first few games, averaging 22 points per game in their first three games in about 32 minutes, and he actually had a really good preseason for the Miami Heat and generated a little bit of buzz there, and he has carried it over into the regular season as a starting guard for them. He's starting over Goran Dragic for the Heat so far in their first couple of games. And he's kind of a guy that came out of nowhere for them, but they're getting excellent production out of him. He's been my biggest surprise player. I actually picked him up on my fantasy team on ESPN. So he's been great. We'll see how, that continues to shake out or if he's, you know, able to continue that production going forward. Now, let's get on to the other side of the coin. What teams have disappointed you so far?
They're both in LA, the Lakers and the Kings.
Woo.
Yeah, man. The Lakers, I just see people are not hitting the panic button. It's just something's just missing there. It just can't be Anthony Davis and LeBron James for 48 minutes. It just can't be those two. Right now they have Danny Green, I understand that. But the bench is honestly not that deep. And then that's just one of my biggest concerns when you get into the playoffs and then when you get into this overload that they just came up with for a reason why they're sitting players. That's just going to be a big issue down the season or down the road. Then with the Kings, they're just flat out terrible. I mean, it's not much to talk about. I mean, they're 30th in points per game. They have Buddy Hield on their team, I believe that says enough. And I'll get into him when I talk about players because, it's just ridiculous right now with Sacramento.
Agreed, man. The Kings were the team that I picked for this as well. If for those of you who tuned in to our season preview, I picked them as the 8 seed, and I was expecting a lot more out of De'Aaron Fox, who has been shaky to start. Not awful, but shaky. And like you said, Buddy Hield, who did all this, you know, money demanding in the offseason. Let's just review Buddy Hield's last couple of weeks here. The Kings offered him 4 years, $90 million. He said that was disrespectful. A couple days later, he signs for $94 million with incentives, of course. But you did that for an extra $4 million? Like, you kind of insulted the franchise for an extra $4 million guaranteed, and then you're kind of banking on incentives for the rest. With you averaging 14 points per game, I don't think you're going to get those incentives, man. So, it's, you know what I mean? That is not really a good look for him right now, in my opinion. Obviously, it's early, and they're four games in to the season, but they have not impressed me at all. Buddy Hield's on my disappointing players list as well. Same with De'Aaron Fox at 16.6 assists. I was expecting him to be closer to like 19 and 10, 20 and 10, you know, somewhere in that range.
You know. I don't even want to put Fox and Hield in the same category. Hield just belongs on an island by himself just because the last couple games, he got 3 points and 5 points.
Garbage.
I'm just like, bruh, I don't care who you are. You will never see LeBron, and I understand it's a big comparison, but you will never see LeBron at least give you 10. You will never see that.
Yeah.
So if you're expecting to get big money, we need you to produce big time. That's all we're saying. You can't get 3 and 5 and make the bands.
Yeah. And this guy was a 20-point-per-game scorer last year and has come out flat so far with the rest of the Kings. I hope they can get it back on track because I like Buddy Hield. I like De'Aaron Fox. Those are two guys that I have a lot of confidence in. But they're going to have to pick it up ASAP for the Kings to, you know, finally make a playoff push like they did. You know, they almost got in last year, and they were expecting to make a similar push this year, but so far it hasn't looked that way for them. So we'll see if they get it turned around and see if they pick it up going forward. Did you have anybody else on disappointing teams or players that you wanted to mention?
No, I'm absolutely upset with Buddy Hield and his shenanigans. But you know what's going to leave a bad taste in your mouth?
What's that?
He compared himself to Steph Curry. Steph Curry would never do this to me, ever.
Yeah. So, let's do a little bit of rapid-fire game previews for some upcoming games. Today is October 29th, as of this recording reminder. So, three games for the next couple of days that we're going to review before our next episode. Bucks and Celtics, who play on Wednesday, October 30th. Clippers and Jazz, also October 30th. And then the Rockets and Nets, November 1st. So we're not going to talk too much about the games. Let's just give our picks, and we'll record them here and follow them. And we'll get you guys' opinion on Twitter as well on what you think you know, is going to be the result of these games. So let's start with Bucks and Celtics. Who you got?
I got the Bucks.
The Bucks? All right. So we got James with the Bucks. I am also going to go with the Bucks as well. I am not a believer in the Celtics just yet, so I'm going to take Milwaukee there. And how about Clippers and Jazz?
I really think this is going to be a close contest, but I'm going to still pick LA. I'm going to pick the Clippers.
Okay. I am also going to go with the Clippers in this one as well. And then the last one we have is Rockets versus Nets. Who you got in that one?
Oh, my God. You really going to make me pick James Harden, can't carry a grocery bag, not King Kyrie. I'm going to go with the Rockets.
Going with the Rockets. I'm going to go with the Rockets as well, but I am not confident in it at all. I'm going with it because I'm not a believer in the Nets. I do want to talk about the Rockets shortly, and mostly James Harden. James Harden right now is averaging 29 points per game, and that sounds pretty impressive, right? But he's shooting 28% from the field. That is abysmal. What's wrong with James Harden right now? What's going on?
I can think of one thing. He's relying. This is the same thing that happened to Carmelo in his prime. He relied on getting those calls, shooting free throws. He's not getting the calls, and his percentage is taking a huge dip because of it. He can't rely on his calls. He just has to play basketball. Stop focusing on his step back, trying to get calls. You're not going to shoot 3 free throws every time. It's just not going to happen. Actually, go to the rack.
Yeah.
When James Harden was playing with OKC, that man would go to the rack in oblivion. So that's what I'm looking for. I mean, occasionally he'll do it, but I'm just looking for him to be a little bit more aggressive rather than a shooter. I mean, if you're going to be the number one option, you just got to play physical. You have to have that mentality. So that's the big reason why I think his percentage is taking a dip right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think he needs to get to the basket more. He's shooting 13 threes a game in three games, which is he's shooting 2 for 13 per game, which is 15%. You know, at some point you got to realize, all right, the three ball isn't dropping for me. Don't completely abandon it, but my goodness, 13 a game when you're not shooting it well. Curry doesn't even shoot that many threes, and he's the best shooter on the planet. So. You know, that it doesn't really make that much sense to me that he's spending so much time beyond the arc. I think he spent too much time this offseason shooting one-legged threes, and it's affecting his two-legged shot percentage right now. So obviously he will get that raised, but they're going to need him to be a lot more efficient. And even Russell Westbrook, he hasn't been terribly efficient himself. Those two are going to need to play a little bit better if the Rockets, you know, really want to be championship caliber like they aspire to be.
Yeah. All right. I haven't even seen the tempo with the Rockets. Like, you would expect, not even in a half court, just in a full court offense.
Yeah.
You would at least expect for them to push the ball with Russ and give James Harden an easier shot. They don't even do that. They just ease their way up the court.
Yeah.
They don't even want to score, and then magically when the shot clock runs down, they just put up a shot.
Yeah.
It's just the same thing we've seen for the last 4 years.
Yeah, they've got it.
I thought it would change, but it hasn't.
Yeah, and then Tony's philosophy back, you know, over his time has normally been 7 seconds or less. That's always been, you know, that was his motto with the Suns back when they were really good with Steve Nash and those guys. And it's something he's been trying to get Westbrook into as well. So we'll see if they pick up the pace of their play a little bit going forward, and if that helps with their efficiency.
I'm trying to tell you, if I was the coach, I'd make the boys run.
All right, so let's finish out today's episode with our topics from Twitter from this week. And the only question we had for this week was, has our preseason rankings changed over the first week of the season? Now, just to remind those of you listening in on the rankings that we each had, I'll start with James's. In the West, he had Clippers, Lakers, Denver, Utah, Houston, Golden State, Dallas, and Portland as his top eight. In that order, he had the Sixers, Bucks, Raptors, Nets, Pacers, Magic, Hawks, and Pistons in that order in the East. So, any changes you're making to that, James?
I will put the Celtics on there.
Throw the Celtics in. Who's getting the boot?
I would probably change the order a little bit. I won't get into how, but I would probably take the Pistons off and put the Celtics on.
Okay.
Actually, no. I would take Magic.
Yeah, Magic taking the Magic. Okay. So there, we'll get into the order maybe on a later show, but right now we're dropping on James's, we're dropping the Magic for the Celtics somewhere in that top eight in the East. All right. Any changes in the West, or are you sticking with what you got so far?
The order would change, but the teams will remain.
Teams remain.
The top eight.
I agree with you there. I'm going to make a little bit of a change to mine. Just a review for you guys, I had the Nuggets, Clippers, Lakers, Rockets, Warriors, Blazers, Jazz, and Kings in that order. I'm going to drop the Kings as I've been tremendously disappointed by them. And I am going to add in the Spurs for now. I was thinking about the Suns, and I think they really could get in there. It's going to be tough. That top eight is really competitive. But I'm going to go with the Spurs right now. I think they're a well-oiled and well-coached machine. In the East, I'm going to drop Detroit, and I'm going to replace them with the Hawks. They have looked impressive. I watched them play against my Sixers last night, and that game really went down to the wire. With the Sixers barely squeaking it out, they got a couple of free throws from Joel Embiid. at the end of the game to end up winning by two. But the Hawks look legit, man. Their ball movement is great. Trae Young is on absolute fire. I really hope that ankle injury doesn't keep him out long because he's playing excellent basketball right now. I don't know what order or where I'm going to move the Hawks up to. I probably slide Miami down to the 8th seed and bump Boston to 6 and the Hawks maybe a 7, somewhere in that range. Or maybe drop the Nets. We'll see how that goes. But, yeah, definitely just those two changes is all that I would make so far. And I think maybe on another show we'll get into how we're going to rank them in what order. But I think we need a little bit larger of a sample size to really do that. All right. Well, that's all that we have for you guys today. We appreciate you tuning in to another episode of The Rebound. James, you have anything you add before we sign off?
No, sir.
All right. Well, we appreciate you guys tuning in again. Again, if you enjoyed a podcast, make sure you subscribe. And, you know, help us out on Twitter, retweet us, you know, help us get some additional followers. We appreciate you guys tuning in and staying with us so far. We just hit 100 views on our last episode in total. And again, that's a testament to you guys tuning in. So we want to thank you for that. So, you know, continue to tune in and follow us on Twitter at The Rebound Pod. You can follow me and James as well at EL1_Coop and at LifeIsA_Gamble3 to follow James. Interact with us. Let us know what topics you want to hear on the show and, you know, even any interest in possibly guest hosting. We'll see if we can bring you on to come talk some hoops with us. So, again, we want to thank you guys and have a great night. Y'all be cool. All right. Water.